G'dvach, Shavua Tov. This is Rabbi Tokayer from Rabbi Eitan Tokayer from Brooklyn, New York. tonight, I would like to discuss a little bit about the essential character of the Metzora. And the essential character of the Metzora is best described, I think, by Unkelus's Aramaic translation of the word Metzora. So the pasuk says, "Zos tihiyah Torah haMetzora." This is the rules, the laws of the Metzora. And Unkelus says, "Da tehei oraisa disagira." So what does sagira mean? Sagira is similar to the word sagur, which means closed in. And one of the aspects, the consequences of the Metzora's ritual is that they go into isolation, into quarantine. And that's what sagira means. So apparently, Unkelus is telling us that the essential quality, the essential characteristic of the Metzora process is the bidud, the isolation and the quarantine. So what's that all about? That's in fact what the pasuk says. The pasuk says very clearly that when the Metzora is found indeed to have this malady of tzara'as, so the pasuk says v'hatzarua asher bo hanega, when the tzarua becomes has this malady, has this blemish, so there are several consequences. Because of Yufruman, they're going to rend their garments. Roshi Yafarua, not allowed to take a haircut or shave. Al Safam Yate, cover their lips. Tame Yikra, he calls out that he's Tame for all to hear. And then Badad Yeshev Michutz LaMachne. He's going to dwell apart. He's going to sit outside the camp. He's going to be in quarantine and in isolation. So what is this bidud? What is this badad? What is this quarantining isolation all about? Because apparently that is the defining characteristic of the Metzora. So what is it? So I'd like to share with you a few different approaches to what this is all talking about. On one level, it really makes quite a bit of sense. This bidud is part of the of all of these characteristics of Metzora's association with death and avelos. I think about what the Metzora does. Rends their garments like an avel, no shaving or haircuts like an avel. Covering the lip, we don't really do that today, but the Gemara brings down about having a hood over the face that goes down to the lip. And of course, tame yikra, he calls out that he's tame. And some Rishonim explain, based on the Gemara, that the purpose of this is so that way people will come and they will people will empathize and sympathize and pray and daven for the person, feel his pain. And that's sort of like Nichum Avelim. And of course, the quarantining isolation itself, the Badad, is similar to the fact that an Avel has to be home all week. Avel's not supposed to go out of the house, not supposed to go to shul, not supposed to go on trips, not supposed to do anything, just supposed to stay in the house. Now, of course, it's not in isolation, but in a sense, it is similar as well. It has to be, in a certain sense, michutz lamachana. He's out of the camp. He's not engaged in the world. He's isolated from the world. In a true Avel's case, the world comes to him. But that's a different story. So on one level, the whole idea of this bidud is part of a list of activities and actions and behaviors of the Metzora that's all related to death and avelos. So who is the Metzora mourning over? So the Metzora is mourning over the death of the person around whom he said Lashon Hara. Because the Gemara tells us that Lashon Hara is the cause of the of tzaras. So he's mourning the death of the of his object, of his wicked speech. And this is in order for the Metzora, and for those of us who are learning about Metzora, to understand the depth and depravity of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara has the capability of assassinating and murdering the target. irresponsible speech can destroy people, can destroy relationships, can destroy parnassas, can destroy shiduchim, can destroy communities, can destroy countries. The reason of this bidud is to inculcate and to reaffirm, emphasizing the destructive nature of Lashon Hara. It doesn't make a difference, names or dates or places. I'm aware of a certain butcher shop that there was a shmua, a rumor that went around about the butcher shop, which happened to be not correct. They were doing X, Y, and Z. The person's parnasa got cut by at least 50%. I don't know if they ever recovered. When you take away someone's parnasa, their ability to have a livelihood and to support themselves, their families, that's murder. Not murder, the equivalent of taking a gun and shooting the person, but you're destroying a person's life. And as such, the Torah's creating this panoply of behaviors around the Metzorah is to make the Metzorah understand the depth and depravity of the action of Lashon Hara. And for those of us who are learning it, to understand ourselves. So that's on one level. Bidud is just part of this whole aspect of Lashon Hara, of Metzorah, understanding its connection to the depth of the terrible nature of Lashon Hara. But there's another element here. And for this, I cite Reb Zalman Sirotzkin in his Oznaim LaTorah. Reb Zalman Sirotzkin agrees that in a certain sense, the Metzorah is mourning the death or the potential death that he tried to assassinate, or that he successfully assassinated, the person, the business, the relationship, the community. And so the individual Metzorah has to mourn that. But it's more than that, says Reb Zalman Sirotzkin. He says that when a person speaks Lashon Hara, what is he essentially doing? He's essentially showing that he has no appreciation for the individual upon whom he is hurling this terrible speech. Doesn't care for them. He doesn't appreciate them. Because if I really appreciated the value of another human being, how could I do that? How could I possibly do that? But we irresponsibly speak Lashon Hara because we do not connect this. And thus, if due to a lack of appreciation for the value of the other person, we allow ourselves this, cognitive dissonance, by which I say to myself, that's not such a big deal. But it's not true. In fact, it is a big deal. And when we speak about somebody, especially somebody we don't like, we don't care for, we're essentially saying, I have no appreciation for the value of this person as a human being. Says Reb Zalman Sirotzkin, we send the person into isolation for the following, and I'm just going to read you a couple of lines here. And he writes, in order for the person to understand the value and appreciate and long and yearn, yitgagea el min ha'adam, v'yikabel alav, l'nashekes afaraglo shel ha'ish harishon, when a person is in isolation, when a person is in quarantine, they yearn and desire and hunger for human contact. And when I am hungry, even things that sometimes might taste bitter, all of a sudden, they taste a little sweet. I can appreciate the sweetness of it. People that we find bitter, people that we don't like, people that we don't care for, when we're in isolation and we hunger for that human contact, all of a sudden I'm able to appreciate something about that individual that I didn't appreciate before. Because the hunger for that, to get out of the isolation, the hunger for human contact is so powerful, so palpable, it allows me to see and appreciate things that I didn't otherwise. Continues Rav Sirotzkin, if you want to really appreciate this powerful, the powerful nature of this, of isolation and quarantine, hasevel, the suffering that a person experiences, you can find B'Sefer Robinson Caruso. And for those of you who don't know either Rav Sirotzkin or Robinson Caruso, we should note that Rav Zalman Sirotzkin was one of the great gedolim in Europe before the war. He was a karov. He had a close relationship with Chaim Ozer. He was a rabbi outside of Vilna. He came to Palestine. He was miyased Agudas Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. He was either the founder or prime mover in Chinuch Hatzmai. But he was also well read. And so he writes, if you really want to understand the power, the suffering of isolation, read Robinson Crusoe, great work of literature. Shebo mesuper maisa be'echad shenitza me'anoya shenitrefa be'yam el ikatan shomei me'ayin adam. A person is in a shipwreck. And he has no human contact. And the story of Robinson Crusoe describes in great detail and in full relief the power and suffering of human isolation. So says Rav Sirotzkin, you really want to understand this bidud of the Metzora? You should read, I don't know if he says you should read Robinson Crusoe, but if you read it, you'll understand it. This you'll understand, the pain and the suffering. And so therefore, if a person has this experience where they're now hungering for human contact, all of a sudden the Metzora can appreciate something about the individual who he spoke Lashon Hara about. That's what the Bidud accomplishes. That's the essential aspect of Metzora. That's what it means. Because if the cause of my tzara'as is my inability to appreciate the value of another person, if you want to fix that problem, bidud, that's the way to go. Badad yashav. I'd like to share with you one third and final approach to this. And this is Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in part, and then something that I would add to what the Sichos Musar says. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says we're missing the point if we think that the Metzora is mourning the death, as it were, of the individual for whom he killed through his Lashon Hara, or he attempted to kill through his Lashon Hara. You know who the dead person is, the deceased is in Tzara'as? It's the Metzora themselves. And the reason that they are dead and considered dead and deceased is precisely because they are in quarantine and in isolation. The Gemara tells us, citing the Baraisa, that there are several individuals that are chashuv kemes. They're like a deceased. They're like a dead person. Who's on that list? Ani chashuv kemes, a poor person. Mitzora chashuv kemes, the leper, the person who has tzara'as. Suma chashuv kemes, somebody who is blind. Misha ein lo banum, somebody who has no offspring. What does it mean that all these people are considered chashuv, are considered like a mace, like a deceased? What it means to say the common denominator here is the inability to do chesed, to give to another. A metzora is in isolation and therefore cannot give to others. They are chashuv kemes, they're like dead. An ani, who does not have what to give, is chashuv kemes. Doesn't mean that an ani has no value, no worth in life. That's not what it means. It means if I am cut off from the ability to give, then I'm like a mace. A mace has no ability to give. A suma, a blind person, certainly in days of old, was dependent on everyone around them, was not able to do for others. Baruch Hashem today, somebody who's a suma has many more capabilities at their disposal. But we could understand where the Baraisa is coming from. And Misha Ein Lo Banim doesn't mean somebody who has no children, not worth living, is dead. It means that the natural availability of the ability to give is not present for somebody who has no children. And therefore, such an individual, in order to be chai, to live, has to work harder, has to go out and do chesed to others. But anybody who is either significantly hampered or robbed of the capability of giving for others, that person is chashuv kames. And therefore, a mitzorah is like a dead person, because a mitzorah being thrust into bidud, into isolation, into quarantine, cannot give to others. They're chashuv kames. So why is this significant? Why is this the essential character of mitzorah? Why is it oraisa de segira, the rules and the laws of the person in isolation? Why is this the essential character of the mitzorah? Because when a person is unable to give, it also means that they are entirely dependent on others. A mace is in two sides of the same coin. A mace is entirely dependent on other people. A mitzora is dependent on other people. An ani is dependent on other people. A suma is dependent on other people. And therefore, when somebody is unable to give, they realize that they need others. And even Misha Ein Lo Banim, somebody who has no children and the ability to do for others is not readily available, all of a sudden they realize, if I want to lead a meaningful life, I have to step out of my comfort zone and find people. I need people in order to live a meaningful existence. It can't just be me in the four walls of my house. And therefore, if a person realizes that they need others, that's exactly what the mitzora needs. The mitzora who spoke Lashon Hara, who couldn't care less about the other person, who basically said, I don't care if this person dies. I don't care if this person, if I character assassinate them. I don't care if they lose their shidduch. I don't care if they lose their business. This person is expendable. When somebody's expendable, it means I don't need them. The mitzora has to learn that we all need each other. There is no one who is expendable. And therefore, by being in bidud, by being in isolation, by being in quarantine, the mitzora learns to begin to appreciate and to feel the fact that he is entirely dependent on others. Maybe even that person that I spoke Lashon Hara about. If I want to live, I need others. I'm dependent on others. I cannot do, I need. And that's what the essential meaning of the ritual of the mitzvah is. When a person speaks Lashon Hara, the consequence is mitzaras. Not because it is a punishment. It is precisely the opposite. Tzaras is truly a gift. Because if a person speaks Lashon Hara and is given the gift of being a mitzvah, then they have the capability of climbing out of that dark hole of selfish self-centeredness and being able to become a truly living human being, a person who values others, a person who appreciates others, a person who learns to value what everyone has to offer, to understand that we're all in it together and we're all dependent on one another. And if the mitzora learns that, and if we all learn that by learning about the mitzvah, then most surely we will perfect ourselves and refine ourselves to be able to build the bricks of families and communities that will be zocha for Bias HaMashiach, b'mhera v'yameinu. Amen. Good vach to all.